8-4-8-2-8. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Josh in a show. We kick off 1 hour uninterrupted sports talk radio right now. And we are joined now by Jay Paterno, son of Joe. Jay, how you doing, man?
Good. How about you guys?
Very good. Obviously, it's been a bad week for you guys, needless to say, with all these allegations that have come out now about what your dad may have known, when he knew it, when the school knew it. As of right now, and I know that you've released a statement and you've written a story about the media, and we'll get into that. But what do you know about these allegations, the 76 and the 71 allegations? What do you know right now?
As they pertain to Joe Paterno, I know there is absolutely no fact to support the claims that have been reported. And that's not just me saying that. That's also Penn State University, who has had access to all the depositions and all the things, all the information regarding these cases. And they came out pretty forcefully with a statement stating that last night. So that's what I know. And I know that Joe Paterno told me in 2011 that the first time he was ever made aware of anything relating to Jerry Sandusky was in 2001 when he received a report. And he reported it, and that's what I know, and those are the facts of the case as have been established by the prosecutors and the evidence.
Now, you say that the 76 and 71, there's no evidence of anything in this, and the school has nothing, but were these some of the kids that were paid off?
You'd have to ask the university that, so I can't tell you definitively. As far as I know, judging based on some media reports, they were. However, I think what's important to know about these legal settlements is that the university's legal subcommittee, led by Trustee Ira Lubert, they believed it was faster and cheaper just to write checks without any kind of strenuous vetting of the claims. They did not make any of these people making claims go under oath. And now, in that haste to put things behind them, and that combined with the NCAA's recklessness has created collateral damage for Penn Staters, for the football program, and Joe Paterno.
Now, do you find it completely out of the realm of possibility that your dad was told by any victim in 76 or 71 about anything? Is it out of the realm of possibility?
Absolutely. Based on what I know about Joe Paterno, a man who had a decades-long reputation for honesty and integrity, to throw that out the window and think he would act in a different way is absolutely, it's not even credible. And when you think about it, in 71 and 76, I was a young kid. And after those dates, if you want to sit there and say he must have known, he allowed me to be around Jerry Sandusky. I was around his family, his kids. I was in the pool with him on bowl trips. You would then have to believe Joe would put that out of his mind when he promoted him in 1977 to defensive coordinator. You would then have to believe Joe Paterno put that out of his mind in 1978. Well, he watched Jerry Sandusky create a statewide charity to benefit young people and be around young people. So based on, you know, the thing we have to do in this society that we have to be careful about is you have to judge the way people live their lives when you try and ascribe motivations or actions without evidence. And everything in Joe Paterno's life points exactly the other way on this. So, it's not credible.
Well, let's go to all the actions and the motives then, right? Because you say that there's nothing that would ever say that Joe Paterno would ever cover anything up. But with the 2001 thing with McQuarrie, I believe that Joe Paterno even said he didn't do enough. He felt like he didn't do enough in that. Is that information enough to say, all right, in 2001 he didn't do enough? What's to say he wouldn't have done enough in 71 or 76?
Well, let me clarify. He did not say he didn't do enough. The statement, the full statement, and again, this is part of the problem we have as a society. We cut things down because we got to make it fit 140 characters on Twitter. Hey, I'm guilty of it, too. I'm on Twitter. The point is what Joe said, with the benefit of hindsight, I wish I had done more, which basically he was saying, I did not basically what he was saying. I know what was said in that room when he made that statement. He said, look, I wish I had known Jerry was doing these things so I could have acted differently. What he's saying is, I did not know. So that statement's been used against him over and over again. In 2001, he consulted university policy, which was based on state law, and reported it to the fullest that he was allowed as an employee of the university. And keep in mind, Jerry at that time was no longer an employee. So he reported it with the expectation that it would be investigated and handled, and that's all he was allowed to do by law.
What did Mike McQuarrie tell your dad?
You'd have to ask Mike McQuarrie that. Now, what has been reported by Mike himself under oath You know, I've never had a conversation with Mike about, hey, Mike, what did you say? What Mike testified to under oath was that he was very vague about what he said, and intentionally because he did not feel comfortable talking about that subject with Joe. And believe me, that is one of those subjects, anything to do with sex-related, you just didn't talk with Joe about it.
Why? Why? That just seems absurd to me. If a guy witnessed what he thought was a rape, I just find it absurd that you, a grown man that's in his 70s, he can't be talked to about sex.
If you knew Joe really well, you'd understand. It's one of those things that if people kissed on a movie, he would say, what are you guys watching? That's disgusting. That's raunchy. And I said, well, you know, that's just the way he was. He was old school. But that being said,
but Mike, this isn't Casablanca. This is rape and child rape. Like, I mean, you got to
let's
him.
Let's back up. Mike never used the word rape in his testimony or under oath, and said he did not. He has stated he never used that word with Joe Paterno. And again, that's another one of those things. When the grand jury presentment came out, they used those words, and unfortunately, they were not accurate. So that was not an accurate report by the grand jury. And in fact, one of the things Jerry Sandusky was acquitted of and not convicted of was that charge. So Mike never said that to Joe Paterno. Again, it's one of those things that has taken on the aura of truth despite all facts of the contrary.
But let's say he didn't use the word rape, and we're talking with Jay Paterno. Let's say he didn't say rape, but let's say he said there was slapping noises in a shower. And this is, I guess, a 60, 70-something-year-old man at this point. We're talking about Sandusky, right? There's something weird about that, is there not, that you would even hear that part?
Well, no question, and that's why Joe reported it. That's the thing you got to remember. Joe reported the only incident that was ever brought to him. And I'm not saying, I can't say it enough. And when you look at it, just to give everybody that's listening perspective, okay, Joe was investigated. The prosecutors investigated this. And Frank Fina said on television in front of God and country that there was no evidence whatsoever that Joe Paterno covered it up. The prosecutors in this case all along have said Joe was forthcoming, he followed the law, he was cooperative, he was honest. So that's from the prosecutors with all the evidence at their fingers, with subpoena power, with investigative power, all those things. And that closes the book on this. And I don't know why it's so hard for people to understand. Now, when people want to come forward and make claims 40 years later, keep in mind there's a monetary element of them
that
making that claim. But, you know, 40 years later, you want to come out and you got to be careful that you don't necessarily throw away all the things that the prosecutors have done. Now, I understand it. I get it. Clickbait media is ready-made. It's the headlines are salacious morsels that we can digest. We all do it. It's like comfort food. You know, whether it's Prince dying or Robin Williams dying, you know, you read that headline and you go, okay, that's the truth. I said, look, we all do it. You know, I saw, you know, you retweeted the CNN article and made a comment about Joe going to a new level of hell. I mean, I've said stupid things about things I read on headlines. We've all done it. But you know what? We have an obligation, if you're going to get into these things, to read the details of a story.
Oh, no, and I agree with you on that part, and I agree with you on the clickbait media part of it. And again, the level of hell thing was a joke. We were talking about things like that on the air the other day about, you know, if you know about rape, what level of hell are you in? Here's where I have an issue, right? Because Joe Paterno is godlike in that area. And you even kind of acknowledge it when you say people won't talk about sex in front of Joe Pa. He is this saint-like figure, and he's got his fingers on everything in that town and at that university. How does he not know anything if his right-hand man, his defensive coordinator, is doing this for 40 years? How does he know nothing?
Again, a couple things there. Number one, it has not been established he was doing this for 40 years in a court of law. That is absolutely...
Well, what if it was 20? I mean, what if it was 10? What if it was 15?
But let's just say this, okay? Joe Paterno did not know that everything that was going on in town. I can tell you that personally because I grew up here and there are things I did that he didn't know about. That's just the reality situation. I'm his own kid. But that being said...
But you also weren't sodomizing kids in a shower in his locker room.
Obviously not. The point being is that he wasn't aware of everything that's going on. The other thing you have to understand, when you talk to experts in this field, Jim Clemente was an FBI profiler for years, is a child sex abuse survivor himself, and stated to me, look, Jay, because look, I worked with Jerry. I worked with him for several years, and I sat around and said, how the hell did I miss this? And Jim Clemente said, Jay, you got to understand, Jerry Sandusky is one of the best I have ever seen at concealing his activities from those closest to him, number one. He said, number two, these people make it their business to conceal their activities. Now, when all we knew about this guy was that he was a church-going, married, non-drinker, who had started a charity for children all over the state. So everything we knew about him ran completely counter to this. So, yeah, it's entirely possible. In fact, it's not only possible, it's true that we did not know about it. I worked with him. I grew up in this town. I was friends with members of his family. So, yeah, it's not only possible, it happened.
Yeah, we're talking with Jay Paterno. Again, and I don't know your dad, and I don't know people at Penn State, but you can see where, from afar, if you hear about a godlike figure like this, I find it hard to believe that if there were things that happened in the locker room, which it sounds like things have happened in the locker room before with kids, that nobody found this weird. I'd argue that it makes Sandusky even more of a target to a degree if he is the churchgoer, the guy that never drinks anything. And then he's around all these kids. Something about that is off. If you think I'm off, fine, but I just think there's something off about that.
Well, let me explain to you why we didn't think it was off, because the state of Pennsylvania allowed him to adopt 6 children. Okay, these are experts in the field. These are judges. These are child welfare experts. Not to mention a great number of other children were placed in his home as foster kids. So everything we knew, I mean, even in the situation with Matt Sandusky was adopted by Jerry, and all we knew was Matt was going to court to fight to be adopted by Jerry. Now, if that was, if one of your coworkers had that same situation going on, would you immediately suspect something? No, you'd say, oh, the kid wants to live with him. You would never suspect that. And the experts who were trained in the field never, ever saw it either. So to say that Joe Paterno should have caught this when Joe has no background and no training whatsoever in these types of issues as it relates to that, because to expect him to see something that people who are experts who are around Jerry with children all the time is unfair to Joe, number one. Number two, let me clarify one other thing. Jerry, Jerry retired in 1999. He was not around our program with children after that. He was, I never saw him one time at a practice, and I was at every practice from 1999 on. I did not see him at practice with kids. He wasn't on the sidelines at games. He wasn't on the sidelines with kids after that. So he wasn't even around. We didn't see him. I would see him maybe once a week, 6 o'clock in the morning, working out by himself in the weight room.
Well, let's go then to 99 then, because you brought up 99 when he retired. Right. 1998. Absolutely. What was the main issue in 1998 as it pertains to the free report? What was the information in the free report from 1998?
The information in the free report is that there was an allegation made and that the Penn State police investigated it. They presented a report to the county district attorney outside of the school. The county district attorney investigated and there were no charges brought because they didn't think it had any merit.
I do find it odd, though, that then you've got Sandusky quitting the next year, teams winning football games. It's a little fishy, right? I mean, the year after an allegation comes out, he retires the next year.
But again, you've got to understand, at that time, there was a state pension going on. And Joe had told Jerry a year or two earlier, you're not going to be the next head coach. So Jerry wanted to focus more time on the second mile, and he opted to retire. And believe me, that story has been investigated and investigated and investigated, and it has been absolutely without question. The facts have been established that his retirement had nothing to do with that, and all the documents have been turned over. All of my dad's handwritten notes about that, and in fact, my dad had very little to do with negotiating his retirement. That was handled by Rod Erickson at Old Main, who then became the president of the university when this whole thing broke. So Rod Erickson's the guy you got to ask if you want more detail on that. But as far as Joe goes, there was no correlation and no connection whatsoever.
Then where does the blame lie for this? Even if it's not 40 years, let's say it's 30 or 20 or 10, where does the blame lie from an internal standpoint with Penn State?
From an internal standpoint, I don't think you can put any blame on Penn State because of the fact that, here's the thing, these are the actions of one person. Okay, and unfortunately, the way we are as a society, we've always got to find something else to blame rather than just saying, look, this person committed a crime. They're guilty of it. There's really nobody else. Now, should people have maybe been better trained? Should people have been more aware of these issues? These types of issues happen in organizations and in towns in every part of America. And that's one of the good things that has come out of this. One of the good things that's come out of this is that there's far more awareness of this issue. My mom donated $250,000 of her own money to set up training at state universities around the state in the state system. So we've done things. Everybody's done things to create more awareness of this. So that's a very important thing. I've been involved with another charity called Darkness to Light. They've done things. They've trained 5 to 7% of the adults in Center County on these issues, and they're trying to get to 10 or 15 because that creates critical mass. So I think the blame really lies in the fact that this is a crime that nobody is comfortable talking about. And that's not me. That's everybody.
I understand that, and I'm glad that you guys are doing charity things, but it just sounds like it's just kind of glossing over everything to say, hey, well, at Penn State, they didn't really know anything and nobody really knew, and we're doing charity work, and that's great. I'm not saying that your dad's guilty. I don't know. I wasn't there. But it's just, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around it.
Well, let me explain one other thing to you. Now, how old are the students that go to Penn State? They're 18 to 23 to 24. So we are not trained in these types of things. And I'm not saying that's not an excuse. That's just the reality of it. We weren't trained to deal with child sexual abuse. We didn't have any minors on our team. So it wasn't something we talked about, something we talked about on a regular basis. Now, that said, we're more aware of it now.
But if you were to see it, though, if you were Mike McQueary and you saw or heard that, what are you doing in that situation? If you're Jay Paterno, you walk into that locker room, you hear what you heard or saw what he saw, what do you do there?
Well, first of all, I don't want to get into hypotheticals and be critical of Mike or not critical of Mike because I don't know exactly what he saw. I've never talked to him about it. That said, we all like to think we'd handle it a certain way. Now, most likely, you know, who knows what you would do? Because sometimes you may react in shock, like, did I just see what I think I saw? Or you may, you know, there's some people that would run in and say, hey, what's going on? So I think everybody reacts differently to those things because you're not sure exactly what you just saw. It's tough to process.
But he thought he saw something that was pretty bad enough to go talk to your dad about it.
Again, you'd have to talk to him about that without me trying to ascribe motive.
I'm surprised you haven't talked to him. That just seems, I don't know why you haven't talked to him.
Well, the reason I haven't talked to him is because when this story broke, there was some legal advice given by the university. This is not something we should be talking about. And I always felt like if Mike wanted to talk about it, he would talk about it. I didn't want to be...
deal. I mean, it's your dad and it's his legacy.
I understand that completely. But again, you know, we were given legal advice by the university that this is not something we were supposed to talk about amongst ourselves. And at the time, that's what I followed and that's what we all followed. Now, you know, I have not really seen Mike since then. So it really hasn't had a chance to sit down and talk to him about it.
Where is he now?
I believe he's still in state college. Like I said, I have not seen him, and I really have not been in contact with him. And again, there are still lawsuits ongoing, and that's part of the reason.
Has there, with all these stories that have come out in the Free report, then you guys released your report, every story that's out there, has there ever been a moment where doubt has crept into your mind and you say, you know what, I read this, and you know what, maybe he did know something? Has that ever crept into your mind?
No, because I read the Free report. When you look at the Free report, there's no evidence there. There's no evidence, and people that have reviewed it, not just people that we're involved with, but I know people that are lawyers and judges and things like that who have said to me, look, I read the whole thing. There's no evidence in there that relates to your dad, and you shouldn't worry about it.
But who's to say that the evidence that you guys got in the follow-up report is any more credible? Because you can see where you'd say, well, you guys are looking for a follow-up to make your story look better.
Like I said, I'm not talking about my report. I'm talking about people that read the Free report who are legal experts, who are judges, not people that we hired to do anything. So I'm not saying those people. If you want to discount that, you can discount that. But the truth of the matter is the Free report had no subpoena power. They did not interview any of the key people involved except for Graham Spanier. And when you look at what the prosecutors in the case did, they had subpoena power. They had everybody under oath. And again, remember, Free did not have anybody under oath. In fact, just so you know, Free did not even make transcripts of the interviews. So all they did was record their general reflections on what they thought you said. We were not allowed to see that. We were not given copies of their notes. So the Free report is far from a legal document. It is just a general document that they put out really to kind of, you know, to give them some cover on some things.
And we're talking with Jay Paterno, and again, we appreciate you for the time. But if that were my dad, and I'm not in this situation, I can't imagine the situation for you. But if it were my dad, like, I'd even have some sort of doubt. It'd just creep in, at least when you see so much. Like, outside of the evidence stuff, just the common sense part of it, which is, like, you're in that locker room. You've been around. You were in the locker room from the time you were a kid until the time that all this stuff came to an end. Like, does it ever, do you ever think that, you know, it is possible that if you're around somebody for this long and this is going on, you have to have some sort of inkling?
No, I mean, look, Joe Paterno, and I got to run here, but to let you know, just I never had a doubt, because on my entire life with Joe Paterno, his professional life, there were stories that came up that he said, we're not, hey, look, let's be open about this. He that's not in his nature. He was an honest man of integrity. And I would hope that people in society would understand that and would be willing to give a person who lived his entire life that way the benefit of the doubt with unsubstantiated, non-sourced allegations come forward. So,
why don't you call him dad? I'm wondering.
Because I worked with him for 17 years and it was a professional thing. So, hey, I got another call coming. I got to run and I appreciate your time.
All right. See you later.
Thanks.
Bye.